I get one from Illinois and from Nevada all the time. I don't know who it is, but I always decline that call. I'm not going to get that. I'm not going to answer that call. But you know, that's what some of us do to God sometimes, I think. He calls, and I'm kind of busy doing something else, so I don't answer his call. Now, in light of this being ICU Now Sunday with these new members that we just saw here, let's just embrace that reality that we don't really sometimes know each other very well. A lot of new faces, a lot of new folks, and some of us don't know each other's names, thus the name tags today. We can't remember the name with the face. Anybody relate to that feeling of embarrassment at seeing someone at church you know you should know and you can't remember their name? Happens to me sometimes too. Right? Shake your head if that's going to happen to you. Okay, a lot of nodding heads there. So I got a solution to that, okay? Just own it. All right, just own that. I've been embarrassed plenty of times, and I've lived through it. My biggest embarrassment is I introduce people all the time. You know, like I'm so concerned that everybody gets to meet that I'm introducing people that have known each other for months, you know. And I just wear that. It's good. So let's give each other permission to have forgotten names, I guess. People forget. Don't be offended by that. And don't be embarrassed by that. In light of all this getting better acquainted stuff, and in light of our new members this morning, I thought it'd be a great time to encourage and teach about what it really means to, quote, join or to become a, quote, member of the church. Thus, the title of our message today, The Call. And so we're going to tackle that question, but we're going to do it not from the more the pragmatic sign on the dotted line standpoint. We're going to go back to basics and ask this question. When we talk about becoming a member of the church, I think the key word there is church. What is the church? What's the church? So start by asking a question to you. What, in your opinion, do most people think of when they hear the phrase, the church? Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It's a building. It was a few years ago in Pioneer Club, we gave the kids this art assignment. We asked them to draw a picture of the church. And guess what you got? A bunch of buildings with steeples and crosses on the top and those kinds of things. And that's understandable. It's kind of culturally, that's what it is. But I didn't know this till recently, that the word church comes from actually the German word Kirch, which literally means building. Is that right, Con? Kirch? C-K-I? Is that how you pronounce that? That's what... Oh, you don't know the word? Okay. Well, maybe I better check my research again. I mean, guys, you're from Germany, right? Okay. Anyway, I've heard that it was a mistake in translation from the very beginning that kind of caught on and stuck, this building kind of idea. And that building idea is so far from the Bible's idea of church, it couldn't be further from the biblical truth. For the first 300 years after Christ's resurrection, the church didn't have buildings. You knew that, right? Now, the Jews, of course, the Jewish believers, did meet in synagogues. But most often, when you read the book of Acts, they were meeting in homes, and it describes them as going from house to house. Yet in Acts 17, followers of Christ are said to have, quote, turned the world upside down. And they didn't even have a building. So it wasn't really about a building, and I hope you see that today. So what does the Bible say about the church? Well, it says plenty, but not about being really added to a list or just showing up on Sunday morning. The word church in the Bible is translated from the word ecclesia. Can you say that with me? Ecclesia. I love how that word, you know, there's certain words you just say and they just kind of flow off the tongue, and that's one of them for me. Ecclesia. So it literally means, ek is a Greek prefix that means out, and kaleo means called. So it means a calling out. That's the word church. The church then is made up of the called out ones, literally. the called out ones. Now, when I think of calling out, I think of when I was getting off the bus, get this, young people, when I was in high school. I know. Can you believe my dad made me ride the bus? Now, he didn't always make me ride the bus. If I had an athletic thing after school, I could drive the old Dodge Stingray. What a beast that was, I'm telling you. It looked like this. That was my car that I got to drive. But I was thankful my dad let me drive a car. His kind of olive green Dodge Stingray. It's the envy of all my classmates, let me tell you. But when I didn't have something after school, I was on the bus. So here I am, this junior athlete, riding the bus. That should produce another get Coles. He's picking up what I'm laying down right now. He's going, no way, man. Yeah, it's true. But I remember, especially in the fall and the times of year when you're gardening, that was when I'd get off the bus, and before my foot hit the ground, and this was when Karen and Kathy and I were in school together. I was a senior when they were a freshman. Especially that year, I think, is when I remember this, because we were together. And I'd just about step off the bus, and I'd hear, "Get out of here!" Once in a while, it'd be, "Jerry, get out here." But it was, "Get out of here." And I knew they were outside working on something. So I would go, sometimes even willingly, from where I was and from what I was doing to join them where they were in what they were doing. Now, the thing that Karen, Kathy, and I usually like to do when some work wasn't demanded of us, Gilligan's Island was on TV in the afternoons. And that's what we would do, is we'd watch an episode of Gilligan's Island. How many of you remember Gilligan? Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, a lot of hands out there. Yeah. But I didn't often get to do that. But anyway, that's a picture with God in his called out ones. It's a picture of leaving what you were doing or what you were going to do, and joining with something else. God calls out your name, and that call is the gospel, and he invites you to leave where you are and what you're doing in life to join him in where he is and what he's doing. But, you know, let's deepen that a little bit. Called from where? Called from where? What does he call us from? What are we leaving? And what does he call us to? What does he call us to join into? Well, this is just chock full of stuff in the scriptures. And let me give you a few. Called from. Okay, this is what we're leaving. 1 Peter 2:9. Called you out of what? Darkness into his wonderful light. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once what? Were far away, have been brought near through the blood of Christ. You were far away from God. Colossians 1:21. Once you were what? Alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Now, there's a lot more from what we're called out of, but here's some that we're called to. Romans 1:6, called to what? Belong to Jesus Christ. I love that word, don't you? Belong. Romans 1:7, loved by God and called to be what? Saints, that word is way misunderstood in our day. We think it's all about how good we are. Saints, we're saints because of what Christ did, not because of what we do necessarily. He made us saints. Saints literally means that you are set apart for God's use. You're set apart for him. And he did that. We didn't do that. Romans 8:28 says we're called according to what? His purpose. 1 Corinthians 1:2, called to be what? Holy. God says, be holy as I'm holy. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God who has called you into fellowship with his son Jesus Christ. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers, were called to be what? To be free. Isn't that a glorious word? Not free to do whatever you want. That's not the freedom in Christ, but free finally to be enabled to do the will of God. Can't do that on my own. No way, no how. Ephesians 1:18, called to what? Hope. Colossians 3:15, called to what? Maybe it's not up there. Peace. I don't know. 1 Timothy 6:12. Eternal life, it says, to which you were called. 1 Peter 2:20, called to suffer for doing good. There's one we don't seem to like very much. But why would we be called to suffer? In one word, can you tell me why? His name is Jesus. Yeah. He suffered for you, and we want to be like him, right? And when you're walking in a broken world, when you're walking with the Holy Spirit, there's going to be some of that. 1 Peter 3:9, I love this one. In this, we miss our calling so often. Peter says, you were called not to repay evil with evil or insult with insult. That's the way of the world. You hit me, I hit you back. You say something bad against me, I say something back. But we're called not to repay evil with evil, but with blessing. I wonder why that would be. Oh, that's right. That's what Jesus did for me. He repaid my evil with his blessing. He died for me. 1 Peter 5:10, called to his eternal glory in Christ. 1 John 3:1, called children of God. These are just a few of many called to, here's the big umbrella, to leave where you were and called to join where he is. That's called salvation, folks. That's called salvation, being born again, being that second birthday. You know, everybody needs two birthdays. Everybody knows that, right? You got a physical one, happy birthday, Jim. That was your physical birthday. But everybody needs a second birthday, a spiritual one, when God comes to, he forgives you and comes to live inside you. That's your second birthday, a spiritual one. Redemption is another Bible word where you're bought out of the world, not of that life that you used to be kind of stuck in and set free from that. And then, of course, the word justified, beautiful biblical word. Justified means to be made rightly related with God. That's not something you do. That's something God does for you through Christ. Being brought from death to life. We're talking about salvation here. Leaving where you were and called to join where he is. Now, what is that call? The call is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. What's the gospel? First of all, it's one of those Greek words that trills off the tongue. And you've heard me talk about a lot. It's the euangelion. Say that one with me. Euangelion. Euangelion. Oh, I love that word. Euangelion, the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the triumphant proclamation, the message. It's the message of the Bible, the triumphantly declared message that God has conquered your sin, death, and hell in Christ, and that he has begun to reign in your life. That's the gospel. Has it begun to reign in your life yet? At salvation, that's when he begins to reign. It's God's message. The gospel is God's message of your condition, of your need, and Christ's solution. And you answered that call by humble repentance and faith. First message Jesus preached, repent and believe, kingdom's here. He told you how to get in the kingdom. In his first message, that's what he went around preaching when he first, his public ministry started, it was repent and believe, repent and believe, repent and believe, the kingdom's here. You want in? You want to become a citizen of the kingdom? You want to be saved, redeemed, justified? You want a relationship with God? Then repent, leave where you were, and join faith in Christ. Question, have you answered the call? We're talking about the church, right? The church, the called out ones, not the building, the called out ones, the real meaning. He calls, will you answer? Will you leave what you're doing and come from where you're at to where he is and join him in what he wants done? And what he wants to do in you. The gospel is the same call of faith that really that God gave initially to Abraham way back in Genesis 12. Remember that? The Lord said to Abraham, what's the first word he said? Leave. Leave your country, your people, your father's household. Just leave all that. And then he said, and go. Abraham's going like, go where? I'll show you where to go. It's a step of faith. Trust me, I'll show you. Leave and join me. And then he said this, some of the most beautiful words in the scripture. God says, I'll make you. I'll make you. He said the same thing to Peter. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. So leave, join, and God will make you. He recreated you the person that he made you to be. Now, Abram, he didn't know about Jesus, about the gospel. But here's the thing. He believed what God revealed. He trusted God. Now, you and I have the opportunity to know more about the revelation of God in Christ. We understand God's promises to Abraham, really, way more than Abraham did, don't we? And if you answer yes to his call, then God forgives you, he cleanses you, he places the Spirit of Christ in your soul. Ephesians 1:13 says, as a deposit, guaranteeing your inheritance in the saints. When we talk about having eternal life in Christ, what we're talking about is not a description of your future. It's a present reality of the life that you have is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, living in you. That's the life. He is. You already have eternal life because you have the personhood of God through his Spirit dwelling in you. And he places that Spirit in your soul as that deposit, guaranteeing that inheritance. That Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, means eternal life. It means eternal fellowship with God and his people starting now. That means everything you were uniquely designed by God for, you will fulfill because of what Christ has done to recreate you. With the Spirit of Christ comes God's power in exchange for your weakness. With the Spirit of Christ comes God's purpose in exchange for your confusion about life, whatever it is about your marriage or about parenting or, you know, the world's just kind of out there grasping at straws for. With the Spirit of Christ comes God's purpose in exchange for your confusion. With the Spirit of Christ comes God's people in exchange for your loneliness. When you answer yes to his call, you are part of his called out ones, part of his church. And this, what we did today, is just the expression of that in covenant form. So the church's not a building, it's not a place. It's a calling that begins at salvation and lasts the rest of your life and on into eternity in community with God and with others who have answered God's call. So we kind of need to make sure we kind of check our thinking and define our church by our calling, not our building, not our polity. Because the world really doesn't need a building, doesn't need another building. We got plenty of those. The world doesn't need more politics, does it? We got plenty of that going on. But it sure needs a people who have died to self, who walk in the power of the indwelling Spirit to give themselves away like Jesus did for the glory of God. That's the call. We leave, say leave, and we join, say join. Amen. Let's talk about answering the call. When I got off the bus, and I heard my dad call, why did I stop what I was doing and join him in what he was doing? Why did I do that? Because I'll tell you something. If my sisters had called, okay, or Cheryl, they said, hey, Jerry, come here. If I had just got off the bus, I probably would have said, no way. I'm busy doing my own thing here. Gilligan's Island's on in 10 minutes. But not with Dad. I didn't say, hey, Dad, Gilligan's Island's on right now, so I can't help you out there. Now, why would I willingly join my dad? The reason is because of who he is. He's my dad. I humbled myself and I accepted his role, his authority, and his right to interrupt and to change the course of my life. And if I didn't accept that, he would have changed the course of my life, let me tell you. Right then, it might have ended. But sadly, today, you know, many people in their rebellion and in their pride, they mock, reject, they ignore God's call. They treat their Creator like they own their life. And they don't. You ever think of that? It's not your life. It's God's life that he gave you to manage. And he calls you to willingly believe what he has revealed about you and about Jesus Christ. And for now, God waits for you to answer his call. For now, God calls in his mercy and in his love, and he waits patiently. He has been patient for thousands of years with humanity, watching us bite and devour and kill each other. He sent his prophets to warn us, and humanity mocked and killed him. He sent his own son to show us what a whole real person looked like. And we killed him too in the most brutal way we could think of. And he was innocent. Now you say, well, Jerry, I didn't do those things. I try to treat people right. Right? I mean, I hear that all the time. I try and treat people right. Yeah, okay. Well, let me ask you this. Do you love your enemies? Because God does it. And if you can show me that level of selfless love, giving your life for those who want to take your life from you, and you love like that every time from the heart, then you could say, I treat people right. But we don't do that. We might sacrifice for our friends once in a while, but our enemies can go to hell. You see, the bottom line is, in all of that, it's kind of, when you really dig down deep, it's kind of about me. You know what I mean? It's all about me. I live for me, not for Christ. And apart from Christ, I tend to make a mess, and I tend to be a mess. And we've got this all worked out in our thinking, though. It's just like Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man. I treat people right. But in the end, it leads to death. That's what Proverbs declares. Listen, he created you for his purpose, and that purpose can only be found in answering his call. And he has a right to call. He's your dad. He has the role and the right to call. Matthew 28:18, just before Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, from which one day he will return, he said this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, he didn't take that authority by force. You know that, don't you? It was given to him by God the Father because he willingly laid down his life for his enemies. Why did he do that? To save you. He can call your name, calling out to you in the gospel. He has made a way for you to come. And it's not about how good you treat people. It's not about you obeying any sort of command or law. He calls, not unlike he did with the Apostle Peter in Matthew 4:19, when he said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And if you're willing to leave and to join, the promise of Scripture is he'll forgive you of your sin. He will give you the gift of his righteousness, and he will come and live within you as his living temple so that you can, according to Romans 12, be that living sacrifice. You'll be a child of God, and he will place you in his family, the church, the called out ones. So today, what we experience today is the covenantal expression of a profound spiritual reality that Christ has birthed you by grace through faith into a family with other believers. And you have the same spiritual DNA, and that spiritual DNA is the indwelling spirit. And with that family, you have the opportunity, you have the responsibility to grow and to know what life is all about together. It's not easy. Because we got to resist the demands of the world for our time and our lives and our soul. And it's not easy because we got to come out of hiding, frankly. But oh, what a life it is. And he calls you today. Will you answer the call? Right now, it's not a call to join this or any church. It's a call of repentance and faith on Jesus Christ. And Jesus calls to everyone. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:15. Can't think of a better verse for this. What's it say? Let's read it together, will you? And he died, what's it say? For all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So where are you at in all this? What are you going to do? Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now that yoke thing, it was either a yoke of oxen where the picture is Jesus here, you're here, and you're yoked with him and you're going the same direction. Could be that. But more likely, that yoke was the word that they used to describe the teachings of a rabbi. So Jesus could be saying, take my teachings upon you and learn from me. That makes sense, doesn't it? Take my teachings and learn them. And the first teaching is salvation, repentance, and faith. That was his first teaching, his first preaching. Take my teaching upon you, learn from me, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my teaching is easy and my burden is light. You say, it doesn't sound easy to me. Well, go out and take the teaching of the world and pursue that for all you're worth, and you, my friend, will be exhausted and broken down in the end. But you come to Christ, yeah, you'll have to face yourself, you'll have to face your sin. He'll reveal things in your heart that aren't very comfortable to be revealed, but all the while you'll be gaining more and more and more life in him. And it's a beautiful thing. So unbeliever, if you've never trusted Christ, I encourage you to answer the call today. And those of you who profess Christ, I would ask you, man, who's running the show right now in your life? Honestly, look at your decisions, your choices, your leisure time, your money, your relationships. You say that you answered the call. You say you belong to Christ, called to his purpose, his family, called out of darkness, called to pay back blessing when you're cursed, called to be a child of God, called to make disciples of Christ. Look inside your heart. Are you living out your calling? And that's not a question that says, hey, oh yeah, I got to work harder. That's not what I'm saying. You got to draw nearer. That's what you need to do. Well, you got to reconnect with that Holy Spirit that will quicken and enliven and give you the desire and the motivation out of love for Christ. Folks, this is the Word of God calling, describing, defining your dynamic membership in the church, the called out ones. Are you there? Are you experiencing the ecclesia of God, called out and called together? To finish off here, I just want to ask you four questions. Just think about them. And then we're going to close our time together. Are we moving or simply meeting? That's a good question as a church family. Are we making a measurable difference in our local community, or are we simply serving ourselves? Are we organized around encouraging dynamic discipleship, or is it exhausting, dusty duty? And lastly, are we ecclesia or church? A call to join the church is first a call to join Christ. It's a call of salvation. It's a call of the gospel. Romans 10:14 says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? There's faith. And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? You got to hear the message. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? That's us that know him, sharing it with others. And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring gospel, good news, evangelion. If you need to answer the call to Christ, to the gospel, to be saved, do it. Talk to the Lord about it. Pray. Call on his name. I remember I was sharing this with somebody before the service began, of a young guy I worked with years ago when I was teaching. I worked in the summer times on a maintenance crew, and this young man worked with me one summer. Karen, my sister, was working with me. So we had opportunity to talk to this kid all summer long. And we did a lot of reading the Bible together with him at lunchtime, because he'd ask questions and we'd say, read this. And he'd ask questions and we'd say, read this. Last week, we were working together. We were fixing windows. He was on the second floor. I was on the first floor outside. And it's like 7:30 in the morning. He says, Jared, guess what I did last night? And I'm down there going, what, Dan, what did you do last night? I was tired. And he said, I got saved. And he went on to describe to me how that occurred and how he ran downstairs and told his dad about it. And his dad looked at him like, that's good, Dan. He didn't know quite what to make of that. And the guy's a pastor today. Led two of his brothers and sisters to Christ in the next few years. Just a cool thing. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So open your heart to Christ today. If you want to talk to somebody, you can talk to me. I'd love to talk to you. Or there's a lot of people in here you could talk to, and they'd love to share that with you and point to you to Christ in the scriptures so that you can experience the repentance and faith that God will respond to you. Father, do a saving work today among the seekers, do a sanctifying work today among your children. Open our hearts to you and to one another. And open the hearts of this community to you and to the gospel. In Jesus' matchless name and for his sake, amen.